We're going to move into a very important part of our presentation tonight called The Anatomy of an Affair. What we're going to actually share with you is the theory of attraction that you've been learning in any psychology class. The theory of attraction in itself is not evil. However, when you put it into a marital context, it becomes very dangerous. A couple of things to keep in mind before we talk about the anatomy of an affair. Keep in mind that sin distorts reality, sin distorts truth. Anything God makes good, Satan can make bad. We're going to call on every individual in this audience right now to be honest with every relationship that's presently going on in your life. Maybe a relationship that you consider to be very innocent and you don't think there's anything wrong about it. Maybe it's a relationship your spouse knows nothing about. It's not that you're trying to hide something from them, but you do not think really it's important. We believe in an audience of this size, there are people presently, tonight, making some choices that are probably not the best. It's our job then to paint for you how an affair actually develops. There are three types of affairs, but we're only going to talk about one type tonight. The two we will not talk about is that one, what we call the proverbial one-night stand. Person goes away maybe on a business trip, they make a bad choice, their heart is broken, and it's never ever repeated. The second affair that we will not be dealing with is what we call the affair of the true sex addict. Multiple partners, it spans over years, and repeated several times. Unless you're working with a mental illness, these affairs are spawned from deep, unmet emotional needs from childhood and the fear of emotional intimacy in adulthood. We will deal with these ideas and these concepts on Tuesday night when we talk about addictions. The affair that we will deal with are the ones that grow out of friendship, from emotional closeness. And basically, they look very innocent, but they then are very lethal. As we go through these steps, you realize they're not static. They flow basically one to another. Step number one is attraction. Just because you wear a ring on your left hand does not mean you'll not be attracted to members of the opposite sex. There is blood that runs through your veins. Welcome to the human race. That attraction might be a personality. It might be looks. It might be chemistry. You cannot help from that happening from time to time. But what you can help is where you go from that point forward. Step number two would be proximity, that you are in this person's arena or area. We have a number of arenas, a work arena, recreation, social, religious, neighbors. Did you not marry somebody essentially you had access to? You went to high school with, went to college with, same congregation, grew up in the same town. So proximity means you're in that person's arena or area.
Step number three is interaction. That's just a psychobabble word, and that means we're communicating. We are a social people, correct? We communicate in all the arenas of our lives. Certainly in the religious arena, you worship together, maybe small groups together, committees together, fellowship together, retreats together. And the vocational arena, anyone that holds a job interacts with other human beings. And the social arena, people that you know casually in your neighborhood, in your community, just in passing. And as America becomes more and more health conscious, we must not forget the co-ed softball teams, tennis leagues, golf leagues, and the gyms and the fitness centers. Oh, the gyms and the fitness centers. And anyone that has ever worked out in one of those facilities is very aware of the fact that the burn doesn't burn as badly if you talk to someone while you're burning. Now, we leave absolutely nothing to chance. There are some very definite red flags at this juncture, danger signs. Please listen to Jerry very carefully.
Number one would be anticipation. You get up in the morning and you're going to see that person. You're going to see them at work. You're going to see them at school. You might even be seeing them at church. And you know that today is going to be a good day. And you're excited about the day because you know this day your paths are going to cross. Secondly, appearance. Because you're going to see that person, you want to look good. You want to look sharp. You put on the outfits that make you look good, ladies and gentlemen. you know, what you feel is, you know, appealing and attractive. Because you want that when that person sees you, you want them to be impressed. And most of all, you're going to have a smile on your face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want to be smiling. And so when that person sees you, they think, boy, that person is happy all the time and joyous. And boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to be around a positive, happy person like this than this dud that I've got at home? Finally, location. You find yourself manipulating events so you just happen to meet. Walk the dog the same time, pick up the mail the same time, pick up the children the same time, work out the same time, or whatever you do, wherever your paths cross. Same Bible class. Or just happen to our paths cross in the fellowship area back there. Isn't that great? Same small group. You just manipulate, so you just happen to be in their group. You say that, oh boy, Jonesy, I knew there was something wrong with those small groups all along.